This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Carlson Fish Oils. Fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA and DHA, which support cardiovascular, brain and nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to shelf. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity, and they're available in soft gels and liquid form. For more information, go to carlsonlabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoppe, and we're talking about the benefits of mushrooms. In particular, research by today's guest, Dr. Robert Beilman, who is director of the Penn State Center for Plant and Mushroom Products for Health, a research center devoted to analyzing the potential health benefits of plant foods, particularly mushrooms. In part one, we talked about the discovery that mushrooms deliver high amounts of ergothionine and glutathione. You've heard about glutathione. Ergothionine, less well known, but also a potent antioxidant that may be associated with anti-aging effects, brain protective effects. And so let's continue with Dr. Beilman. Dr. Beilman, are there any other ways that we can amp up the ergothionine in our food products?
Yes. In fact, the way ergothionine gets into the food chain is that fungi in the soil produce it, because all fungi make ergothionine. They produce it, and plants that are associated with the fungi or in locations near it pick up the ergothionine, and then, of course, animals eat the plants, and it gets into the food chain that way. However, the amounts in foods are quite small compared to the mushrooms. And I had this hypothesis in my mind one day that maybe the levels in the food chain in the U.S. have been decreasing over time due to the depletion of fungi in the soil caused by some of the modern agricultural practices that are employed.
The fertilizers and chemicals and potentially fungicides and pesticides that are used in agriculture.
Right. And even tilling the soil is known to disrupt the fungal populations and reduce them levels. And, of course, tillage is, is widely used. Mm-hmm. So, luckily, after several years of thinking about this idea, I was able to, through my colleague, Dr. Ritchie, the glutathione expert, we formed a collaboration with the Rodale Institute, which is also located in Pennsylvania. And they are experts in regenerative organic agriculture. And so we were able to look into whether tilling, for example, is the only thing we've done so far, would reduce the ergothionine level. And we used oats, because oats is one of the foods that's known to accumulate more than most food products. And what we found was that all the trials with tillage reduced the ergothionine level versus no-till crops by about 25%. So we want to now expand this and look further in other practices that might decrease fungal populations and therefore the ergothionine level that gets into the food chain.
Yeah, sometimes agricultural efficiency gets in the way of the nutritional value of the foods we eat. So clearly we want to obviate any problems associated with modern high-tech techniques. So the question that I have is of a practical importance is, in preparing mushrooms, do you not destroy or vitiate the antioxidant effects vis-a-vis these compounds, ergothionine and glutathione, through sautéing, through cooking, baking, etc.?
Well, luckily, ergothionine is very, very heat stable. And so normal food preparation temperatures don't even touch it. Great. Glutathione is a little more unstable, and it's reduced somewhat by heating. But, for example, even baking bread, I used that example earlier, putting the ergothionine in bread, baking at 400 degrees did not reduce the ergothionine level in the, that we added to the bread.
Oh, that's excellent. Great. Can we turn our attention to the immune supportive effects of mushrooms? Mushrooms they have vitamin D. They have these compounds like ergothionine and glutathione. They have a lot of fiber, which is beneficial, of course. But they also are reputed to support immunity because of their polysaccharide content. There are these beta-glucans that are in mushrooms that I believe are responsible for the immune-boosting effects. Can you speak to that?
Yes, that's been widely studied, mainly in Asian countries because, of course, they've been using mushrooms for medicine for eons. And they've done a lot of work in this area of immune enhancing through the beta-glucans that are found in mushrooms. I personally haven't done anything with it myself, but you mentioned vitamin D. That's also known to boost immune function. And we've also worked with selenium, enriching mushrooms with selenium. And, of course, that is a fairly potent antioxidant when it's combined with glutathione, and that's been known to increase immune function to some degree.
So you could actually enhance the benefits of mushrooms by growing them on a substrate or a soil that is enriched with certain nutrients. The mushrooms will then uptake those nutrients and provide a delivery system.
Right. That's particularly true with something like selenium. Beta-glucans and things like that, it wouldn't affect that, I don't think. But the amount of selenium that's in the soil is directly proportional to how much the mushrooms would pick up, because the substrate for most mushrooms is wheat straw, and wheat is known to pick up the selenium, and then that's used to make the substrate for the mushrooms. So We found, for example, mushrooms that are grown in the middle section of the country where the wheat belts are, and there's more selenium in the soil there than there is in the east and the Midwest, had the highest natural selenium levels. But we're able to add selenium to the substrate in known amounts and increase the level very easily and predictably that way.
Mushrooms have the reputation of kind of being grown in some mucky stuff, you know, and for some people that's a turnoff. You probably know a fair amount about the domestication of mushrooms and the cultivation of mushrooms. What's the real deal on that?
Well, I think that comes from the fact that especially like the button mushroom is grown on a straw, a composted wheat straw base, and there's chicken manure added to it. But there's also a casing layer put on top where the fruiting actually occurs in the mushrooms. And that's made up of very damp, wet peat moss. So the black specks you see on a white button mushroom, for example, really is peat moss, which is really pretty harmless. But it looks mucky.
Yeah.
When they're growing. So, and of course the mushrooms don't touch the compost, the fruiting bodies. They're probably, you know, a foot away from the compost by the time they're produced, or at least 6 inches. So they're not growing in contact with the compost that might have horse manure or chicken manure or whatever in it.
So it affected safe to eat raw mushrooms? I mean, you rinse them off. Do you have to peel them because to take off that, those unsightly specks?
Right. Most people do wash them. I think most people wash almost anything before they eat it. So just a rinse would be good. But don't do it until you're ready to use them, because they do pick up water when they're washed, and that reduces their shelf life significantly.
Yeah, and how about refrigerator time for mushrooms? Because, mushrooms require certain storage conditions. When I buy mushrooms, I buy them in a paper bag rather than a plastic bag, because they tend to get slimy in a paper bag. What are the optimal storage conditions for mushrooms? You should keep them out in the open on your counter, or refrigerate them, or, you know, how should you keep them fresh, and how long should you keep them?
Right. Well, They should be refrigerated. They'll last longer that way, obviously. They probably would last 4 or 5 days if they were in good condition when you bought them at normal refrigerated temperatures. And you're right, the mushrooms should not be put in a plastic bag because it retains so much moisture and they do get slimy. It's better to put them in something that breathes, like a paper bag.
Okay. Anything you want to add about any of the other health benefits of mushrooms?
I can't think of anything right now.
Okay. Well, I think we've covered it quite nicely. And so congratulations on your work. And, you know, you've certainly gone a long way to explaining the benefits of mushrooms. Suffice it to say that mushrooms are good for you. And we're learning more and more about it. And in future, we may have functional foods such as the Brain Boost bread, which incorporates mushroom powder. We're eagerly awaiting it so that we can buy it at our local Whole Foods or Trader Joe's. I'm not sure if it's reached that stage yet.
Yeah. No, I don't think too many people get their bread from the Spruce Creek Bakery.
Which is probably
Spruce Creek, Pennsylvania.
Spruce Creek, Pennsylvania. So if you're willing to travel down to central Pennsylvania, you can score your Brain Boost bread. But until then, eat mushrooms, or I guess you could obtain mushroom powder as a commercial product and maybe do some home baking and incorporate the benefits of mushrooms in your bread.
Right.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, and appreciate the work that you've done in this field, and we're going to get the word out.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us, Dr. Robert Bielman.
Okay.
I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.